Let's take a little trip over to Hebrews chapter 12 tonight. We got the better part of one verse last week. And there's so much more there. So we're, and everything in this 12th chapter here for the next foreseeable verses here kind of swings on the hinge of this first couple of verses here, which also swings on the 11th chapter that we just finished. And so we're going to kind of slow down right there and see if we can make our way through the latter part of the of verses 1 and 2 tonight. Verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." As we looked into these two verses last week, we talked about the idea or the principle that once you commence the race, once you begin the race, then you must continue the race. There's a commencement, there is a beginning, and there is a continuation that is in view in these two verses. Commencing the race has to start with being born again. By virtue of having the second birth, you are entered into this race of the Christian life. And as you continue along the continuum from commencing the race and continuing that race, there are some things that we talked about last week that we are to avoid in this process. One of the things that we talked about avoiding last week was discouragement. The first part of the first verse here speaks to that when it throws everything back to this great cloud of witnesses that we look at in chapter 11. The reason that we have this great cloud of witnesses there is to encourage us. To encourage us in the faith. To encourage us to move forward in the race in the proper way. We're to look to those that have gone before us. To those in this room that could take different avenues. In my personal life, those that were of my family were those that were in my family that were born again were few and far between. And so when I look back on where I came from and what all built into my life there, there weren't a whole lot of shining, stellar examples of Christianity. But as I have studied and moved forward with these things, and I have leaned on some great men, some great men of the last century and centuries before that, and some of the great Puritans before that, and Waldensians before that, and some men that just, you know, were there. They've been an encouragement to me, and I've never met them. They have helped me in my maturity. They've helped me to see things differently and to question things and to look at things from a different perspective. We're to look at those that have gone before us. I had folks in school tell me that we are to stand on the shoulders of those that have gone before us. That they reached high, but they left that legacy and they left that information for us to glean from so that we could take where they left off and we could go even higher, go further than these individuals were able to go. chapter 11, the cry for, at the end of chapter 11 to me is, we made it. Of all of those great men and women, we made it. And you can too. That's the encouragement. We made it. And you know what? Because God is faithful and because God doesn't lie and because when God puts it out there, it's going to be His way. Because of that, because we made it, you can make it too. What He did for them, He'll do for you. So the first thing we looked at was discouragement. We need to avoid the discouragement of this life. Avoid the discouragement that comes our way by looking at good examples and by being encouraged by good things. The second thing we're to avoid that we looked at was disaster. We need to avoid disaster. That verse talks about laying aside weight and sin that easily besets us. Whatever hinders our running can be a disaster for us. Whatever it is that hinders us in the race can be a disaster to each and every one of us. Anything, even good things, can slow us down on the path to God's glory. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, a couple of really wonderful verses. Say, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. That means I count not that I have arrived. I've not made it. Got it made. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You do realize your race is not completed yet. Huh? You do realize that your race is not finished. You've not arrived at your destination tonight, right? Well, maybe. Maybe. Who knows, Hezekiah? Huh? Maybe the first day of another decade, another 15 years. But you've not arrived at your destination. I know that because y'all are still blinking at me. Huh? And as long as you're blinking at me, you haven't arrived. And you've not made it to your destination in the race. Now listen to me. When you really get a grip on that fact, when you really get a handle on that one fact right there, it'll revolutionize and change your Christian walk. That's what this is talking about. That's what Paul was talking about, forgetting that stuff that's behind and pressing forward in the way. He's talking about the same principle. He's talking about the same thing. It's this race. It's this Christian life that we're engaged in. And once we recognize and realize that we've not arrived, that we have not apprehended, that we have not finished the course that the Lord has laid out for us, when we get a grip on that, that ought to compel us to reach forth to those things which are before us. To reach forth to the things that are before us. There's something more. There's something more to strive for, to reach for, to press towards. That's why what's one of my favorite sayings, press on. Press on regardless. Reach forward. Quit letting what's behind you drag you back. We're to be pressing forward, reaching out, reaching forward, reaching on to the things that are before us. The things that are behind us are there to encourage us to do that. To encourage us to see how God moved and worked here so that we are encouraged to reach forward and to go higher, to stand on those shoulders, to reach up, to see more, to be more about God's business. We're not to be holding on to those things that are behind us that keep us from reaching forward. What's that that's behind us? Good things on one hand and mistakes on the other hand. good things that'll keep us from moving forward and mistakes that keep us from moving forward as well. Good things and bad things. Both of these things can keep us from doing moving the way that we should. One of the things that this tells me is that we're not to rest on our laurels. Heard that, right? Don't rest on your laurels. Where do we get that? Huh? The laurel wreath, which this is pointing towards anyway, with all the analogies to race and how Paul talks in other places about fights and games and all of these different things. But the idea that's here is that we don't rest on our laurels. That laurel was the victor's wreath or the victor's crown. So back to the previous statement, you do realize that your race is not completed yet. You don't have a laurel wreath. Huh? That's to come. That's something yet future, the crown that's to come, you see. And so we've not yet received that. We've not finished our course. We're not done with what we've been put here for. We've not been crowned yet. So whatever wreath we think we've earned for past performance is really one that we've crowned ourselves with. And that's going to be a problem going forward. That's going to be a problem going forward because we're to forget those things that are behind in order that we might press and reach forward to the things that God has for us. To stay back there thinking about the glory of the past can lead to today's spiritual defeat. To be stuck in yesterday's glory, to be stuck in yesterday's victory, so to speak, is to lose today. Got to be advancing. Got to keep moving forward in all of this. No athlete at the top of his game gets a pass for even one game. You look at the best athletes in the world today. Somebody's gunning for them. Somebody's working on them. Somebody wants their spot. And buddy, if they let down for one round, one game, one whatever, somebody's going to slide in there and put a slap on them. That best one has to remain at the best has to always be striving, always moving forward, always moving in the proper direction, or they're going to get passed up. Nobody gets a pass. The devil wants to knock you off, by the way. And if he had his way, you'd be dead tonight. I mean, you'd be stone cold dead tonight. He don't like you not one bit. He don't like what you do. He don't like what you stand for. He don't like who you represent. And if he could touch one hair on your head tonight, you wouldn't walk out of here. I thank God that God's got him on a chain. And he can't do anything with me that till he asks permission. And I've got a God that is very sparing with the permission at times. And so, you'd be dead if he had his way. So don't rest on your laurels. Secondly, don't let your mistakes keep you from reaching forward as well. I fear sometimes when we get to a certain station in life, and that being an age of maturity in the church, that we feel like that we are afforded the luxury of being able to check out or being afforded the luxury of not progressing the way that we should. That's what I'm really trying to get the point across with: don't rest on your laurels, because it don't bank. Those things don't bank with that. It's not what you did yesterday that's going to be good for you for today. God has a course set out for you each and every day that you live on this planet. And so for us to stop progressing, actually that's being backslid. Anytime that we stop in the progression of growing, we cease to grow, then we're in a backslid state, in a backslid condition. It doesn't mean that we've slid down into the valley. It just simply means that we're not progressing with the Lord any longer. and not to progress with Him is not to grow. And anything that's not growing, friend, anything that's not growing puts us in that backslid state. Secondly, don't let your mistakes keep you from reaching forward. There's nothing you can do to change the errors that you engaged in yesterday. Those cannot be changed. The regrets that we have, the decisions that we've made, those things aren't going to be changed. And so many times we let those mistakes dictate what we're going to do today. And the Lord says, and Paul, through Paul, he says, forget those things. Forget those things. And move forward in this process. And so the mistakes that we've made in our life, there's so many people with so many regrets and so many people that are downtrodden. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Well, no, you're not worthy. There's not a one of us that's worthy of anything. I look around even during this process here and I have men tell me, you know, I'm not worthy to be a deacon. Well, of course you're not. No, you're not worthy. I'm not worthy to be a pastor. There's not one of us that's worthy, but we're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. And the reason that we're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb is that there is no more condemnation to us because He paid the penalty for that sin. We're justified. It's the justification process that makes us worthy. And so nothing in and of ourselves with all of that. So we can't let our mistakes hold us down. We can't let our mistakes be the thing that keep us from pressing towards the mark. Those mistakes, it's just that record player in the back end of our mind that the devil wants to whack us around about, that we want to whack ourselves around about and disqualify ourselves from things. And sometimes it's because it's too hard. We think it's too hard to progress with the Lord, so we're content to be saved and through the door on that, and just going to ride our time out and hope for the best when things come about. And that's not anything that what this is talking about. This is talking about anything but that. It's talking about progressing, being on the move, being alive in your Christian life, being alive in your Christian walk, and continuing on in the course that God has us on. So don't let your mistakes keep you from reaching forward. Mitigate the damage that's there. How do you mitigate the damage that's already there? God's made provision for that. He made provision for the covering of that sin. He made provision for forgiveness. He made provision for that. Take what He's offered. I mean, He's not going to take it back. Take what He's offered. Take Him up at His word. Take Him up when He says, if you'll confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from these things. Take Him up on His word. My soul, don't get stuck out there hanging around with all that hung up over your head. Be humble. That's how you mitigate it. Be humble with these things. Deal with the fallout. But after you've dealt with the fallout, keep reaching forward, pressing forward. You do realize that God doesn't intend for us to have to learn everything the hard way, right? God didn't intend for us to have to learn everything the hard way. Some of us just hard-headed that way, you know? What's the old saying? Experience is what you get when you're looking for something else. Huh? I was looking for this outcome, but I got experienced in the process. And my experience says, well, that's not how this ends up. My experience says, I should have done it this way, which is the way the Lord put it out there. But no, I did it my way. And now I might have got over there in the neighborhood of where I was heading, but it wasn't pretty the way that we got there, right? God didn't intend for us to have to learn everything the hard way. That's our choice. That's our choice when we go the hard way. The Lord is my shepherd, He says. I shall not want. He's my shepherd. If He leads me, He's going to lead me through those green pastures. He's going to lead me through the still waters. He's going to lead me in the way that I should go, you see. When I choose to do it my way, chances are it's going to be the hard way with all of that. The Word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path, you see. Everything doesn't have to be done the hard way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding in all thy ways. Acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths, you see. So don't be a know-it-all. need to be a learn-it-all. And if we want to avoid some trouble in our life, do it God's way. Do it His way. He's put it out there for us. It's proven. It's tested. And He knows what the end result will be if we do it His way instead of our way. Those two things that I just looking over here with not resting on our laurels and not letting our mistakes keeping us from moving forward, those two things combined are the one thing we are to do. The one thing that we're to do. Remember when Paul said, "This one thing I do." This one thing I do. What he's talking about, don't rest on my laurels. And he's talking about not letting the mistakes of the past hold him back from reaching forward and reaching forth to the things that he has before him. So don't let those two things, those two areas, be the one thing that interferes with being your best today. God wants you to be your best today. So if any of that's holding you back, get rid of it tonight so that tomorrow can be the best day of your life. And then if you'll do the same thing through that day, then the next day will be the best day of your life. Can continue forward, running the race and moving in the way that we should be. The past should not interfere with our best today. That's the one thing the Lord wants from you today. He wants your best each and every day. So we need to press on. Press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Avoid discouragement. Avoid disaster. The third thing that we talked about was avoiding distraction. Avoid distraction in the race. You're to run your race. Run your race. Not your neighbor's race. You have a race of your very own to run. And it's different for all of us. I'm not racing in your lane. I'm racing in my lane. I'm not racing against you. I'm in a race of my own. Got to remember that. Avoid the distractions. Volleyball girls, they're young. Oldest kid on the team's a freshman. We got four freshmen on this team. And we're working over some older teams. And the reason is that these girls have been with me for a while. And they understand the fundamentals. And we have taught about teamwork. And everybody has a job to do. And if everybody stays in their lane, if everybody stays in their place and does their job, then we work as a cohesive unit. But the moment that one of them decides I'm more valuable than the other one and begins to go over here and try to help this one out, and go over here and try to help this one out, then the next thing happens is that these two quit. And they begin to let this one try to cover the country. And one person can't cover the country of three people when you're playing against six that are playing as a unit. And so we play in our lane. And there's times when we'll play a ball game and I'll have to call a timeout because they're young. And I'll have to call a timeout and bring them over to me and have to remind them of what we're doing and how we're going about it. And I'll bring them in and I'll say, okay, you're now playing their game. You're playing the game on their terms. Our terms are this. We do this, this, and it results in this. And if we do things our way, if we do things the way we're supposed to do them, then the outcome is good. But if we do things the way they want us to do them, the outcome is not going to be good for us. And the whole process and the idea there is the same that we have right here. Stay in your lane. Do what you do, and do what you do the very best you can do it. Do what you do the very best that you can do it, and everything's going to be all right. It's the moment that you try to do too much, try to get over into somebody else's area, try to get over into this and that and the other. I remember before I got, right after I got saved, and in the church there, and I was serving under my pastor, and three, 4 years into the service there, man, I'm into everything that's going on, and he's making decisions like he's supposed to be making decisions. And there for a little piece of time, I got to second-guessing him on some things. I got to second-guess, well, why is he doing that? Like I was somebody. I've been saved 3-4 years. This man's been in the ministry 20 years, all right? Why is he doing that? That's the dumbest thing in the world. Now, I didn't say that out loud and to a whole bunch of people. out in there. But in my own self, I said, that's the dumbest thing I ever saw. And kept on. If I was doing it, I'd do this. If I was doing it, I'd do this. And I had these scenarios all worked out. Lord, have mercy. I took my first church, and I figured out some things that I didn't know before. There's a whole lot more to it than it appears from the outside in. Decisions aren't all that easy sometimes. There's a whole lot more going on. There's a whole lot more swimming under the surface than anybody understands. There's more people involved in everything, than what you ever would imagine. And I went back to him. And I said, you know, I never did nothing to undermine his authority. That was never going to come out of my mouth. But it was in me and the musings that I had as a very young, immature Christian. And I went back to him and I confessed that to him and told him those things and told him how much I admired how he had gone through those processes. And he just kind of said, yep. You know, it wasn't like he was just like, you know, floored and, you know, just so appreciative that I had been giving him the approval for anything. It was like, yeah, you know, you're learning, son. And we moved on from there. You got to do what the Lord has before you to do. And you can't do everything. And you can't fix everything, but what you have to concentrate on is doing what you do, doing what you're doing with the Lord, and not what everybody else is doing with Him, with all of that. So avoid the distractions. Number four, last piece of verse one, avoid desertion. Desertion. It says, run with patience. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Run with patience. Patience is waiting with tenacity. Okay? Patience is not whatever will be, que sera, sera. It's waiting with tenacity, having expectation of what the Lord is going to do and how He said He will do it, expecting Him to show up. Expecting Him to shine forth, expecting Him to be God and do what God does, to have a steadfast endurance. It's more what it's talking about there. Remember that God sets the pace. God sets the pace. You're not the pace setter. It's Him. You can run before Him. Huh? You can run ahead of God. And running ahead of God is a tough place to be because you wind up out there all by your lonesome somewhere, which then takes us back to that other deal where, you know, we can do it His way or we can do it our way and see how that ends up. And so we need to be careful with that. It's kind of like the two buzzards that were sitting up on the knob, been sitting there all day long on the knob on top of the desert floor there. Looking, watching, smelling as the heat waves come up off of the desert there. Finally, one of them fluffed his wings up, jumped off that knob, and just put them wings up and headed down into the valley. The other said, what? What do you say? He said, patience, nothing. I'm going to kill me something. That's not the patience that the Lord wants us to have. Amen. Not the patience He wants us to have. He wants us to be steadfast. Wait on Him. Run the race the way that He wants the race to be run. There's coming a day when, I don't know when that'll be. May not come, but I suspect there'll come a day if I hang around long enough that I won't be able to work. That won't be a reason for me to quit on God. That won't be the day that I hang it all up and say, well, I'm just done. I still have a race to run. He may change my lane and change my objectives. He may change the pace, but He's not going to stop the race. I'll still have things that need to be that He and I are going to need to work on. So my lane may change, but the race doesn't end. It's kind of like I preached a message here a good while back about with a boxing analogy, that you can lose a few rounds and not lose a fight. Huh? It's the same thing. Sometimes we let things knock us off and get us off track that shouldn't get us off track. You agree? You understand where I'm going with that? Man, you can lose a lot of rounds and still win a fight. Huh? I've seen some miraculous comebacks where somebody hadn't even won a round and they win the fight. They just got the right one in at the right time at the very end of the thing, and the whole thing's over and they've won at the end. What's the key to that? Well, number one, keep getting up. Keep getting up. Keep moving forward and keep swinging, you know. Keep swinging. You never know how this thing's going to end up. You got to keep moving. Keep one foot in front of the other one. Just keep moving until you can't move no more. And so, big deal. Commence the race, continue the race, complete the race that we have found ourselves in. Verse 2. Aren't you glad we finished 1? Verse 2. This tells us how we're to go about that. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and then tells us some information that ought to encourage us about Him there on the last part, about His the reason that He came and the cross and enduring all of those things. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9 says, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in Me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Paul speaking there. He's just talking about some things that are noteworthy and praiseworthy in verse 8. And then he goes over to this and says, come go with Me. Follow Me. Follow Me as I am an example for you. Get to wondering sometimes if Paul had the big head, you know. Did he have a big head? That I'm pretty big stuff. Follow Me and you'll be all right. Well, no. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us, he says, be ye followers of Me, even as I am of Christ. And so what he's really getting at there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9 is, come follow Me as long as I'm following Christ. And as long as I'm following Christ, hook on and let's go in the same direction. But the moment that I part trails from the Lord Jesus Christ, get off Me and get on Him, because He's the one that this is all about. There are men that are good examples in certain areas. Follow them as they follow Christ. Okay? That's a good thing to do, as long as they're following the good example. But don't make the mistake of comparing yourself with men that you're following, because that's an imperfect comparison. Okay? See, these things are out there to encourage us and to admonish us, because we're herd folks, right? Sheep are herd folks, and sheep like to, you know, move along with like kind and such as that. And so God knows what our tendencies are and such as that, but what we have to be very careful and guard against is comparing ourselves to those that we're following, okay? It's an incomplete comparison. And it will lead us to a conclusion that is not good conclusion. The conclusion that it leads us to is that we're not so bad. We are. And when we compare ourselves among ourselves, then it's an unwise comparison that we have. And so we follow folks as they follow Christ. They give us examples. They give us something to go along with and give us an idea about how to work some things out. But we don't worship the ground somebody walks on. We don't follow them with blinders on with all of that. We are to follow our example as Christ Jesus. We're to be conformed to His image, not conformed to the image of some man. But we follow men. We follow after them as long as they're going in the proper direction. Just don't compare yourselves with them. That standard's just way too low. It says here that we're to be looking unto Jesus. Amen? We're looking unto Jesus. He's the example. He is the beginner and the ender of our faith. He is the example for everything. He pioneered the race. He's the perfecter. He's the completer of that race. So we're to follow the trail that He blazed. We're to follow and do it His way as we go through here. Remember when we used to pick sides playing ball in school? I never really thought about it during the time because obviously, maybe not obviously to you, but I don't ever remember a time when I was picked last. So it never did bother me. Okay?
That was me.
I got you. But as I got to thinking about it, I always got to thinking about, you know, the same ones were always picked last. For the most part, one or two of them, you know, might have been interchangeable with all of that. And so that was a tough thing, somebody always being picked last. What we were doing during those times is we were picking natural ability for whatever endeavor we were trying to get into, right? Whatever natural abilities that someone has, that's what we were picking in order to have them on our side so that we might prevail in whatever contest that was. So folks that were picked last in whatever piece of that they were picked last in, they were born with a gene pool that they couldn't overcome with some of that, okay? Gene pool, get it? So, so there was a gene pool that couldn't be overcome. But when a person gets saved, when a natural man gets saved, he is regenerated. Huh? He is regenerated. He gets something that amps up those natural genes, and he can now run with the best, you see. When an individual gets born again, regenerated, he is equipped now to run this race with the best of them, okay? All of you who are born again here tonight are equipped to run the Christian race with the best of them. Whoever you want to pick out as the best of them, you're equipped to do infinitely more than what is being done by the examples that you're comparing yourself to today. God has equipped you perfectly to be able to run the race that you have before us. So no matter how good your genes are, you get past your prime in some of these things, your people begin to not pick you so much. Let's talk about sports. You get past your prime, you kind of get moved to the side, your playing time goes down, all these sort of things. You just kind of get moved to the side with all of that. Not in the Christian race. The older you get, the better you get in the Christian race. The more time you spend in the Word, the more time you spend in the process, the more valuable you become in the race that we have before us. So as I look around the room today, we got some very valuable resources here by virtue of having run this race for the amount of time that you have. Can you do it better? Huh? Should you be striving for mastery? Should you quit? Should you coast at this point because you've reached a point where you're pretty good at what you do? See, that's part of the process that holds us back in this. And so we need to overcome that and get forward. So how do we run by looking to the Lord here? Well, we complete the race by yielding to the author, yielding to the finisher of our faith, yielding to the champion that we have here. What's that mean? That means that He runs through me. Okay? He runs through me. That's the whole point of the whole thing here. He runs through me. Let me give you a couple of verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Put the icing on this one, the second verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Looking over at verse 24 and following. Know ye not that all which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run ye that ye may obtain. So run ye that you may obtain. You're running for the prize in your lane that nobody else can get to. You are running for the prize that God has set out before you. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest it by any means, when I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Galatians 2:20. Write that right in the margin with all of that as well. And simply tells us that I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, in the life which I now live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, or something like that. What that's talking about is faith, which in turn, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 are talking about wherefore, which is faith in the previous chapter here. And Hebrews 11 and 1 tells us that all of this goes back to now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. Verses 1 and 2. Verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. The word consider there simply means to compare. Simply means to compare. Make a comparison of some kind. Compare your sufferings with the sufferings of Christ before you throw in the towel. That's what the third verse is getting at. Compare your sufferings with the sufferings of Christ. We know that He willingly, that He patiently bore every insult, took every lash, took every rotten thing that was heaped upon him. He took it. He was steadfast according to everything that we see. He was steadfast unto the end. He finished what he came for. In Luke chapter 9, there's a couple of words in the 51st verse there that stand out to me. And it says, and it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Steadfastly set his face. He set his face as a flint, according to Isaiah, as a flint to go to Jerusalem. We looked at a couple of weeks ago over in the latter part of Hebrews chapter 11, the idea that God's favor flows where his face is set. His favor flows where his face is directed. I love the idea of that his face was directed towards Jerusalem, the city of God, the city of peace, and that his face is always set in that direction. Kind of reminds me that my face ought to be set in the direction of New Jerusalem. Amen? My face should be set in that direction. I shouldn't let anything deter me from moving in the direction of the New Jerusalem that is going to come down out of the heavenlies. So sometimes, as we go through this life, we get the poor pitifuls. Poor pitiful me. I'm getting eat up here. My cup's, getting full of all of this stuff. And it's more severe than other people are going through. I've had to bear more than other people have ever had to bear. And if that's you that has gone through something like that, I would say to you what verse 3 says. Consider him. Consider him. Compare yourself to what the Lord went through. Make the comparison between what you're going through and look at what he bore. Reflect on him. Consider him carefully, is what this is saying. Meditate on him. Take full stock of all that is recorded about the Savior, about the sufferer. Consider the one who died for you while you were his enemy. Consider that. And consider the manner of that before you continue on in the pity party that you may be having for yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 has something to say about that. 2 Corinthians 4, looking at verse 14. knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This life is our light affliction. This is our light affliction now, you see. And it has a purpose as we move forward in that. Verse 4. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. He's talking to the early Hebrew Christian here at this point. And trying to remind them of something here. Now, they had definitely suffered for the cause of Christ. They had definitely suffered, but we're not talking about a period of time here where the persecution rose to the level of martyrdoms across the board here. So he's reminding them that they've suffered for their faith, but they were still alive. You've suffered for your faith, but you're still alive. You've not given your life for the cause. And so it's a big, quick reminder here. Striving, when it talks about that in this verse, when you see that, that's talking about warfare. Okay? And so this is also a reminder that says that we're in a battle. That we're in a battle against sin every single day that we're in the race that we're in. So if we understand that we're in a warfare, that we're in a fight every single day, then we need to be striving, and that striving is talking about fighting. You got to fight the dirty devil. You got to fight the world, the dirty world that's around us. You got to fight this dirty flesh that wants what it wants. All right, the sin, the world, the devil, the flesh, all of these things. We have to strive against these things. There's a fight that's going on. There's a war that we're engaged in each and every day. Obviously, none of us has resisted unto blood tonight. Again, we're blinking, and so that tells me that we've got a ways to go. We've not given our last breath in the battle against these things. For all intents and purposes, one day, sin is going to appear to prevail in our lives. Agreed? It's going to seem to have prevailed in the life of every mortal man. This body's going to fail under the weight of whatever it is that is the last straw. It's going to, unless the Lord comes, this body's going to fail under the weight of, you name it, put the name to it, whatever you want to put the name to it. Whatever malady or ailment or whatever comes along, whatever, maybe a dastardly deed or some infidel sword, if things continue. Like it's going today. But it's going to appear that sin has prevailed. The sin that we've strived against is going to appear that it is won. But Paul, again, writes that ship and says, for me to live is what? Christ, and to die is gain. So we have to fight the good fight. Amen? We're to fight the good fight. We're to never, ever, ever, ever give up. We are to resist, we're to strive, we're to keep moving forward in all of these things. Because until that time where we have resisted even unto blood, that it says right there. So all this is saying is that we need to run the good race, that we need to fight the good fight. We need to be a good soldier. We need to steadfastly set our faces aflint towards the New Jerusalem. We need to be a saint of God and be counted in what we do. Lean at the tape. Lean at the tape at the end of our life. Huh? Be leaning at the tape, not languishing along the path, but connected and moving and leaning in with that last breath, resisting even unto blood, and that last breath leaves my body here on this side. I'm leaning into the tape, that last exhale's here, and the next inhale is in the sweet fragrance of a wonderful place where sin does not exist. lean into the tape at the end of the race. Don't be found lollygagging along. Be moving forward. Take one more swing. Take one more shot. Take one more step in the service of the Lord. Glorify Him with your last breath in this life. To God be the glory all along the path and all along the way. I'm going to close on this verse here. Remember that old song? To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. And give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Lean into the tape today. You don't know what day's going to be the last one you got. Make it the best, and today needs to be your best day. Lean into the tape at the end of the day today. Amen?
Amen.
We'll take a look at the next verse coming up next week. It's still in the same vein, still in the same light, still the same category, still the same idea that is continuing here, but we'll take a look at it. There's some chastening and some other things and the reason for it in our life. Also, some good child training going up. So some of you got some young'uns that you're just now starting with. There'll be an opportunity maybe even to visit a little bit about some of the chastening with our children and how we need to be sure to get our bluff in. Do things early and often so that we can get them moving in the right direction.